Hey everybody, welcome in to the South Harmon NFL Fantasy Team Previews for the upcoming 2024 season. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. And with me is Koopa, and he can be found at Dynasty Koopa on Twitter as well. Just a quick little synopsis of what we're going to be going over here. It's going to be a preview of all 32 NFL teams. And we're going to be doing this over the next several weeks, releasing them for you guys on both YouTube and in podcast format. Going to try our best to keep these between 15 and 20 minutes each. I know that might be a little shock to some people, me and including trying to get these to 15 to 20 minutes, but we're going to try our best. We're going to talk about our thoughts on all these players for the upcoming season and what we can expect from them, especially from a fantasy lens. We'll be giving you our thoughts on all these players too. Just a reminder too, these are the players that we're recording as of the recording right now that have signed with the team. So some players may sign after this if you're watching this later in July or August or somewhere down the road. You know, we've had a couple signings here recently, so I've added those in, so that's good. But just in case for future reference, we'll be going over the quarterback, the running back, wide receiver, tight end, and the O-lines for each team. And any of the drafted rookies for these positions, we're going to give you a little look into their draft profiles as well and how we can expect them to fit into these teams. So first team up is going to be the Buffalo Bills. So Coach Sean McDermott, offensive coordinator Joe Brady are still there. Some of the key players that left, obviously Stephon Diggs was traded to Houston. Gabe Davis did sign with Jacksonville this offseason. And Mitch Morse, the center, was cut. I forget where he signed, but he did sign somewhere. Targets and vacated air yards. So there's a lot on this team, obviously, with Diggs and Davis leaving. 317 targets, 3,353 air yards have vacated this team. One of the highest in the league for sure. So quarterback position, Koopa, I'm going to let you take it off with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, so the Buffalo Bills, we all know Josh Allen. He's been the QB1 or 2 the past 4 years. Last year, he had a 92.1 PFF, the top quarterback out of all the quarterbacks in the NFL. So realistically, Josh Allen, number one or number two quarterback in the league, both for redraft and dynasty. Fully expect him to be there. In whatever case, if he does go down, now that hasn't happened in years. And honestly, I think it's because Josh Allen's a pretty tough guy. The only thing that's going to take him off the field is like a broken bone or something. But the guy to own as that backup is Mitchell Trubisky. He was the backup in Buffalo a couple of years ago before he went to Pittsburgh, and now he's returning back to Buffalo to be the backup again. So presumably that means that they like him enough to trust him holding the clipboard behind Josh Allen and being an emergency guy if needed. They also have, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name, but Shane Bukele, maybe?
Buchel.
And so he's going to be the third quarterback as of right now because he's the third guy on the roster. We know that NFL teams are dressing that third quarterback, at least most of them are. But the Bills only kept two on their initial 53-man last year, so he might end up being that practice squad guy that will get called up to be that third quarterback dressed for the game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Josh Allen, you're getting one of the top dynasty quarterbacks in the game. Trubisky, like you said, coming back from Pittsburgh this offseason to be their backup. Buchel, he was with Kansas City, I believe it was last year. I think he ended up getting cut at the final cutdowns and came over to Buffalo. Buffalo picked him up. And like you said, they only kept two quarterbacks on the initial 53-man roster last year. I think they're going to do the same this year coming up as well. Buchel is probably going to be go down to the practice squad unless somebody does pick him up, kind of like Buffalo did last year. On to the running backs now. So obviously the starter is James Cook. He had a PFF grade last year of 71.7, which was 30th out of the 59 qualified running backs. He had a 53 receiving grade, which was 44 out of 56, which was kind of surprising to me because a lot of people thought, hey, James Cook going to be this really good pass catcher in the NFL. A grade of only 44 out of 56 kind of leaves me hoping for more there. Ray Davis, obviously, they drafted there in the fourth round. Ty Johnson, Darrington Evans, and also Frank Gore Jr., the undrafted free agent, obviously the son of Frank Gore, is there as well. They only kept three on their initial 53-man roster last year and a fullback, so that was four total. And I'm kind of thinking it's going to be the same this year. I think James Cook and Ray Davis are going to be locks. And I think they like Ty Johnson. They used him quite a bit last year when it was just Cook, Ty Johnson, and Latavius Murray. Ty Johnson did get some run there at the end. Darrington Evans has bounced around from teams, so I'm not holding on to him among any of my teams. Frank Gore Jr., I could see him probably ending up on the practice squad for them. What do you think about the running backs there, Kuba?
Yeah, I kind of see a similar thing. James Cook is obviously going to at least be like a 1A type. Yeah. I don't necessarily see him taking all of the snaps, but then Ray Davis is probably the guy this year to come in and spell James Cook.
Yeah.
The question is going to be just how much of a spell is that going to be? Is that going to increase as the year goes on? And we know that Josh Allen steals a lot of those goal line touchdowns, and that's kind of where Ray Davis would kind of excel the most as well. So it might be even harder for James Cook to get himself those touchdown, those 6-point spikes on a week without it being like a major play. So that's a little harder. The other thing about Ty Johnson as well was he was a big contributor on special teams. And so that helped him be that third running back week after week. Sometimes he was on the kick return team. Other times he was just on coverage. So there's definitely I would expect Ty Johnson to be that third running back again, unless he gets beat out for one of those roles. So Darrington Evans and Frank Gore Jr., they might end up on the practice squad just to be guys there in case we all know running backs get hurt a lot. And so they could be guys that get called up for injuries here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then kind of highlight some more about Ray Davis. So these are a lot of takeaways from Dane Brugler. If you're not familiar with him, theathletic.com. Go check out Dane Brugler's work. He's their head NFL draft guy. Puts out the beast every year with 400-plus prospects, full profiles, and over 1,000 prospects total in the whole guide. So definitely recommend checking that out. But here's some of the highlights he had on Ray Davis. Overall, Davis has racked up a lot of miles and lacks explosive long speed, but his vision, cutting skills, and competitive toughness are translatable traits. Although he doesn't offer up much on special teams, he can be a productive rotational back for an NFL offense. He also became the first college player ever to rush for 1,000 yards on 3 different FBS programs with Temple, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky last year. His college PFF grade was an 87.5. He had 197 carries, 1,131 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns, 32 catches on 39 targets, and 324 yards as well. He had a 77.3 zone grade and a zone runs and a 91.6 gap grade on gap runs, which is what the Bills run a mix of, is a zone and gap. So I would expect he's going to be able to handle that. 751 yards after contact were 26 best in the whole country, and 51 missed tackles forced, which was tied for 42nd in the country. So I really think Ray Davis is honestly a younger version of Latavius Murray. So I think he can fit in that role. He's a really good receiver too. So I think if James Cook can't handle that receiving role, like we saw with his PFF grade from last year, I think Ray Davis can definitely get in there and at least be, you know, could this be a 60-40 split? That's probably what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I would expect something like that. It currently in fantasy projections for the coming year, you have James Cook as the running back 16 and Ray Davis is the 61. But I think that's mostly off of we haven't seen Ray Davis yet.
Right.
I think if Ray Davis ends up being closer to that 40%, he could be easily a running back 40 or something like that, a guy that you might consider putting into your flex spot, depending on how deep your starting lineups are, how deep, especially if you're like doing a weaker running back strategy, you have a lot more of your fantasy team invested into the wide receivers. He could be somebody that comes in, fills a spot for a week, and you'd be totally okay with his output. That's assuming he gets that 40%, and I could see that growing as the year goes on. We see that a lot with these rookie running backs. The first half of the season, they don't get as much. They're kind of in there. They might get like 5 to 10 rushes, but as the season goes on, okay, they might be starting to hit that 10 number more consistently, getting a couple passes out of the backfield, things like that. So look out for Ray Davis to be one of those guys that starts to reach that towards the end of the season, and that potentially hampers James Cook.
Yeah, and absolutely. Ray Davis has been a guy I've been hammering in my rookie drafts in the third round every single time that he's been there. So if you're still doing some rookie drafts, third round, Ray Davis, just press the button every single time. Moving on to the wide receivers here. So obviously Keon Coleman is going to be the main starting guy that they drafted there at the top of the second round. Khalil Shakir is there. He was 29th out of 128 on his PFF grade, which was a 76.7. Really good season from Khalil Shakir. Curtis Samuel, he had a grade of 69.7, 53 of 128 on the PFF grade. Chase Claypool, who they just signed, Mac Hollins, Justin Shorter, Quintez Cephas, Andy Isabella, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, a 2023 UDFA, Brian Thompson, another 2023 UDFA, and they brought in two UDFAs for 2024 as well, Xavier Johnson from Ohio State and Lawrence Keys the third as well. They only kept five receivers on their initial 53-man roster last year, so if we kind of look at that, I'm thinking it's probably going to be Coleman, Shakir, Samuel, Chase Claypool, and Mac Hollins. I could see them keeping Justin Shorter possibly as well on the practice squad, but I think a lot of these other guys that we've seen in the NFL, Cephas, Isabella, Hamler, they have a tough road to make this team. What do you think about the wide receivers here, Koopa?
I agree with that on a lot of the guys at the end of that list that you read off. There are more like camp bodies. They're essentially dart throws because you look at the big story with the Bills for this coming year is essentially missing Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. Those were their two top receivers last year. They need to replace them with other guys. And so they got Keon Coleman in the draft and they signed Curtis Samuel. But neither of those guys are of the Stephon Diggs level. And Gabe Davis, it was always disappointing from a fantasy lens in terms of how much you wanted him to do on the Bills offense, in terms of what the potential was there for him. But from an NFL perspective, he was a really good receiver. Yeah. He filled his role. He did his job. And so them losing him, they're trying to find somebody to fill that. I am a little bit worried just personally about Keon Coleman of just like everything I've seen is that, hey, he's going to be somebody that you might need to be using him in the slot. Matt Harmon talked about how he would be really good in the slot in the NFL, but if you try to make him an X receiver, he's not going to do that well. Well, then the first interview with the Bills GM that you see after the draft, he's like, yeah, we are going to try to put Keon Coleman outside. It's yeah. Like, okay, that might not go as well for Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel is somebody that who's been silently doing really, really well. I think just the fact that he was on Washington, that there's multiple guys there that are also other good receivers. Like Curtis Samuel is one of those guys that currently he's wide receiver 55 in redraft for this year. I could see him sneakily being somebody that when you get to the end of the season, if he's like wide receiver 30, I would not be surprised by it. Just somebody that can come in. He'll just end up soaking up a lot of these targets, especially if Keon Coleman does not do as well as you would think based on where he got drafted and what the general community sentiment is on him. Khalil Shakir is one of those guys that is going to fill that slot role, and that's what he filled for them last year. So I understand they're trying to put Keon Coleman outside because then that would kind of cannibalize what Khalil Shakir is. But you're going to those three wide receivers, they're all between wide receiver 50 and wide receiver 61 in terms of where they're projected for fantasy right now. And you know that with the Bills, with Josh Allen, somebody's going to have to step up. And so it's just a matter of which one is it. You can almost take a dart throw at all three and just and hope that one of them exceeds expectation enough that now they're a usable regular weekly starter in your lineup.
Yeah. Just one little quick note on Curtis Samuel. So obviously when Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator with Carolina, that coordinated with Curtis Samuel's best pro career as well in Carolina. Then they used him as a running back a little bit, used him on those jet sweeps, and used him in all different kinds of ways. So obviously this is a Joe Brady favorite player is Curtis Samuel. So I could see Curtis Samuel being somebody who does have some fantasy value this year. I agree with you on that. Quickly on Keon Coleman, he had 50 catches on 87 targets, 658 yards, 11 touchdowns, 13.2 yards per catch last year. He played 280 snaps out wide and 119 slot snaps last year. He had a 70.7 PFF grade against man coverage. He had two drops, 6.3 yards after catch, which was tied for 118th in the nation. His ADOT, which is average depth of target, was 12.4 yards, which was 201st in the nation. He had 8 catches for 257 yards on deep balls, which is characteristically about a 20-yard pass or longer, 11 for 168 in the slot. He's an impressive contested catch guy, strong against press coverage, lack of separation skills, and he had a limited route tree, only ran a basic vertical stem tree. Another thing Dane Brugler said on him is he's similar to Cortland Sutton. So if you kind of think about like what Cortland Sutton is as a player, he thinks that's similar to what Keon Coleman can do. Josh Allen also wanted this guy from one of the press conferences from the GM. Josh Allen wanted him, talked about his ability to catch back shoulder type throws, kind of like what Rodgers and Devontae Adams used to do all the time. So he believes that Keon Coleman can hit this route with them. So maybe this is a guy, if he can get on the same page with Josh Allen, we can expect Keon Coleman to kind of take over there for the top receiver spot, take over for Stephon Diggs. All right, so now on to the tight ends real quick. Obviously, Dalton Kincaid is there, their first-round pick from last year. He was 20th of 72 with a 68.8 PFF grade last year. Dawson Knox is the backup. They have Quinton Morris, Trey McKitty, and Zach Davidson. They kept three on the initial 53-man roster last year, and I think it's going to be the same. It's the same group. So Kincaid, Knox, and they really like Quinton Morris. I think that's going to be your main three there for the tight ends. What do you think about Kincaid this year coming up?
I think Kincaid, last year we were seeing him do really well in the receiving game, especially as the season went on. And with the talent that has left in the receiver room and how new a lot of these receivers are, I can see Kincaid being that extra guy that maybe picks up some of those vacated targets and those vacated air yards that we were talking about at the beginning of this. If you have a league where maybe you've got like a two tight end league or you've got a lot of tight end premium, I would not sleep on Dawson Knox either. Even right now, he's ranked as tight end 32. So if you think about that, that means he's above at least one other tight end that's a starting tight end on a team. And yeah. We know that even before Kincaid was there, he was a productive tight end. Like he wasn't like a top tier or anything, but he was getting you high tight end to production. And he's somebody that the Bills still like. He'll still go out there and run routes, and Josh Allen will still throw it to him. He's not somebody that's only going to be out there blocking, and he's never going to catch a pass sort of thing. Especially with this receiver room where it's a bunch of new guys or a bunch of guys that are maybe limited in what they're able to do, it's another guy who might end up having a more productive year that we don't necessarily expect just because the opportunity might end up being there. We know Josh Allen is good. We know he's going to get the ball to whoever is out there and getting open. And so if that we expect that Kincaid's going to be one of those guys, but Knox might end up being another one of them too.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Kincaid this year. I think especially for like a redraft, like it might take a while for Keon Coleman and these other receivers to really get going. Like Kincaid's a familiar target. He's played with them all last year. I think Kincaid could have a monster fantasy season, kind of like Trey McBride did last year, where he was just like an auto start every single week. I think Kincaid could have that, especially if things don't break right for the wide receivers there. Onto the offensive line. So they were rated sixth last year on the offensive line. All of Buffalo's five starters played in all 17 games last year, which heavily contributed to the offensive line's improvement over the course of the regular season. All five Bills starters played more than 1,120 snaps, and the Bills offensive line only surrendered 12 sacks all season, which was the fewest in the NFL. They bring back their best player, Deion Dawkins, the left tackle. Dawkins allowed just one sack all of last season. His previous career low was three during his rookie season. So hell of a year there for the Bills offensive line. So a couple changes here this year to the offensive line. Obviously, left tackle Deion Dawkins is still there. He was 22nd of 81 on his PFF grade, 74.9. Even though I just talked glowingly about him, he only gave up one sack all season. His PFF grade was still 22 of 81, so it wasn't like he was like a top five or something like that. And their backup right now is Ryan Vandermark, 2022 signed free agent that they had brought in. Their left guard is David Andrews, a fifth round pick from 2019. Really good run blocking PFF grade, which is 85.9, which was fourth out of 79 for all guards. Their backup is going to be Alec Anderson, 2022 UDFA. The center is Connor McGovern, who they brought in as a free agent signing, gave him $9.9 million guaranteed. He was a guard with Dallas last year, but he's going to come in and play center here for Buffalo. He had a 55.4 PFF grade at guard, 73.9 pass grade, but his run grade was only a 44.5. Backup, Cedric Van Pran-Granger, the 2024 fifth-round pick from Georgia that they really liked. Some talk about him. Brugler really liked him, has NFL play strength, especially in the run game, and his coaches rave about his leadership and smarts, but he might struggle when caught in any situation that calls for him to play in space. He's equipped to compete for immediate starting reps in the right situation. So I think he's going to kind of back up this year, especially with them giving $9.9 million guaranteed to McGovern, but we'll see what happens there. Right guard Cyrus O'Torrence, a 2023 second round pick, PFF grade last year of 54.9, which was 54th of 79 guards. So not a great year for Cyrus O'Torrence. Really big guy. He's like 330. He's like a monster. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully he can improve in his second season coming up here. Backup Travis Clayton was a 2024 seventh round pick, which he was one of the international players that was drafted. He's from England. He's 6'7", 300 pounds. He ran a 4.81 40 and had a 1.68 10-yard split, which was really important for offensive line. That was the best among all guards in this draft class, was that 1.68 10-yard split for Travis Clayton. Big dude, very, very raw, obviously, coming over from England. So I think this is a guy that's probably going to spend, you know, some time on the practice squad. If he makes the team, he's got all the talent in the world to make the team. So if he picks it up quickly here, he could be somebody that's really good for them. And then right tackle Spencer Brown, he was a 2021 third round pick for them, 70.1 PFF grade, which was 32 of 81 tackles. And the backup they signed was Lyle Collins, a former Cowboys draft pick. He's 31 years old right now. He did not play last year due to a serious injury he suffered with the Bengals. He only got $1.5 million fully guaranteed for this coming season. So just kind of kick the tires on him, give them some good depth. He has played multiple positions in the NFL, so we'll see what he can do there. And then Koopa, your specialty, man, the kick returns and punt returns, I'll let you go with them.
Yeah, so last year the kick returners, they were mostly Khalil Shakir and Ty Johnson. So they kind of split here and there. It was more or less when Ty Johnson was on the active roster, he was the kick returner, and then when he wasn't, Khalil Shakir was. So I would kind of expect that to continue to be the thing for the coming year. Now, the punt returner was Khalil Shakir for all of last year. However, in the draft, they also got Daquan Hardy, a cornerback out of Penn State. He was Penn State's punt returner, and he's, I think, the only guy in Penn State history to have two punt returns for a touchdown in the same game. He was a really good punt returner for them. I would not be surprised that if Khalil Shakir ends up being one of the receivers that is playing a lot more snaps, that they end up giving the punt return duties to someone else, and Daquan Hardy might be the guy that would take that over. So that's something to watch out for, is what does that wide receiver room look like that might affect who these kick returners and punt returners are for the Bills this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is going to be it for our Buffalo team preview. Hopefully you guys enjoy this, and we will be back here shortly with the Miami Dolphins.